If one thinks that now the right thing and the great thing is coming, then the air goes out from all the four tires. But these are precious thoughts which we have heard, and we can confidently think about it. The importance under the sound of the Word of God, it's in two parts. Firstly, to hear attentively. Secondly, the heard words to move them in our hearts. That's how it is written. She pondered upon the heard words in their hearts. The words of God shall not just be addressed to us. They must be in our hearts. And we must ponder upon them. And when this happens, then God will do something in your and my heart. Nothing comes from nothing, but this is the divine order. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes for what God has sent it for. In all days, whether at the time of Moses, whether at the time of Elijah, whether at the beginning of the New Testament church, whether in the days of Reformation, whether in the revivals thereafter, always the word which God at a certain time has sent accomplished that in those who believed it, for what it was sent for. And all who received the speaking of God in their days, they confirmed by it that God is true and faithful toward his people. And they knew that he spoke to them through the mouth of a man. God didn't choose the angels or the cherubims or the seraphims to proclaim the gospel, but men who experienced the gospel, who experienced salvation, who received the salvation of God, they knew of what they were speaking of. And when we read in the seventh seal that there was a silence for about half an hour, beloved, in that moment where the redeemed multitude is perfected, this will surpass everything. There, all the cherubims, all the seraphims, and all what might be there, firstly, they will hold their breath, because the King of Glory, he who was mighty in battle, he who won the victory and who cries out, "Open ye ancient gates and let the king enter." And the question was, who is this King of Glory? And the answer is, it is the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. He won the victory. And when he then will enter with this victory crowd there, this will be the greatest moment of all the history of mankind. We are grateful to God that he in such a mighty way speaks to us. Recently, I was reading the word in Zurich from Kings, I think chapter 18 it was, where it is written that the woman recognized that the word, no, it's the last verse in chapter 17, 1 Kings 17, last verse. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." Not only a man of God, but that the word of God in the mouth of the man of God remained the true divine truth. That's what's all about. Not only that one is a man of God, but that the word of God remains truth in his mouth. Biblical, divine, revealed truth. And this is my earnest wish, that the word of the Lord, as God has revealed it in this time, that it remains truth in your and my heart, in your and my mouth, that it remains the true, absolute, divine truth until we come from believing unto seeing. No mixing, no interpretation, but the revelation of the Word of God. Also, this thought I liked very much of the prophet Daniel. We have to look at one thing. Daniel was that man who has seen the heathen kingdoms in their sequence, who looked up into the last days. He was not sent to the people of Israel. He was really that man to whom everything was revealed, what God planned. And therefore, he could say here, I read it to you. I underlined it red. It says here in Daniel chapter 2, namely from verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." You see what's all about? Daniel was not sent at all to the people of Israel. Therefore, he didn't speak of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or of the God of Israel. He was the prophet whom the end time was shown, the four consecutive kingdoms. And I ask you today, what was the last empire? the Roman Empire. You can all read it. And the Roman Empire remains until the end, until the stone loses itself from the mountain and will crush the image, and then the kingdom of our God will come up. How nice that it's written here, soothsayers and magicians, and who they might be, astrologers, they doesn't know of the secrets of God, absolutely nothing. And when I say here today that we are the best informed people which exists on earth, then you can really believe me. There is no politician and there's no advisor staff who has this knowledge what God has given to us by His grace. What the people in Moscow and Washington don't know, this the Lord lets us know. And the same prophet Daniel speaks of the end time and says they will sit on at one table and they will lie to one another. Did you read it? If not, then I can read it to you. It's just like that, that the prophets in visions, they saw all these things and they wrote it down, men of God, inspired and anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and He has the overall view. Somewhere I said it, or I wrote it, that men write history afterward, when all the events took place, then the history writers sit down and one ink pot after the other becomes empty and they all write what took place. God did it totally different. God, all of history, all of the plan of salvation, the developments with Israel and with the nations, up to the end time, up to the millennium, up to the new heaven and the new earth, God let all things be written beforehand. We have a wonderful book in our hands, in our hearts. The greatest and the mightiest gift which God has given us by His grace, besides the redemption. And we know that God really will not owe us any answer. Read it in Daniel chapter 11, verse 27. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. They may all make a plan, and the Lord foils it. They may decide, and if it is not according to the word of God, then this decision will not come to pass. Our Lord has the last exalted word and says, my counsel shall stand, and what I purposed, this I carry out. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Soothsayers, magicians are walking in darkness. They puzzle and guess and they just fool the people. A prophet of God has the word of the Lord for the specific time, and by the bringing of the word we are illuminated. Are you not happy about it, Beloved, let us not become unthankful. It's my fear on the deep inside of my heart that we, as such pardoned people, loved by God, called out, chosen people, are not grateful enough. One has to ask us to thank the Lord. Oh, what are we? What am I? What a miserable creature we are. May God give us gratefulness, deep gratitude into our hearts. I don't mean that we should shout so that the ceiling falls down, but the connection to God, everyone must seek in prayer. Through the sermon, God speaks to us. In the prayer, we speak with God. And when we have heard all these precious words, doesn't it touch your heart that you say, "Oh Lord, who am I and who are we?" That we in this time can hear your word. All the world lies in wickedness. It's in darkness, because darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And we touched upon it last night. The world is being deceived. All the nations drink of the golden cup of the wine of fornication, and they can't think with a clear mind anymore. And perhaps something stood out to you. This good man blessed the whole world and all the nations. Did you notice what nation he didn't bless? Israel. Among all the many nations, one was not included. There he has no blessing. Be attentive. The things are not happening by chance. The wise and the prudent, they shall understand that one nation was excluded. All nations are being blessed with this. Ah, they can actually do without it, but you all know what I mean. But Israel is not mentioned. And when Brother Branham said, after the visit of the Pope in 1964, he says, when the arch enemy of the people of God made his pilgrimage to Jerusalem, then the lunar eclipse appeared and it became dark. I don't know whether this is in the translated sermons. I don't know right now. But the brother says here, it's there. Then of course you all can read it somewhere. And all this has a meaning, because one day the people of Israel will be again put into a corner and will be deceived. But then, in the crucial hour, their Messiah will help them. Then he will have mercy on them. Then he will not just watch. Then he will clean up with all the enemies. And he will say, while for a moment I was angry about my people, you spoiled it and you have trodden it down. But now I turn to them with eternal love and mercy. We could read up all these scriptures. Let us not forget it. God does everything at the right time. First, the church must be completed. And when we think about that, the heathen are coming to Bethlehem, where the Lord was born. And the Israelites keep watch with their rifles. And until today, they don't know that this was their Redeemer, their Savior, their Messiah. And then the prophet Zechariah writes that they will look on Him whom they pierced, and they will mourn as one mourned in the days when the earthquake was at the time of Uzziah. And every house and every family will mourn, and they will be bitterly sorrow about it. Then the spirit of repentance and of grace comes upon them, when they will recognize that Christ is their Lord, their Messiah. And they will ask, "Where did you get these wounds from?" And He will say, "My friends, my relatives did that. I came to my own, and mine own received me not." Beloved, what shall happen with us when we see Jesus on the cross, Him with pierced feet, with pierced hands, seeing Him, and that the spear pierced His side for you and for me? What shall we do then? Then the spirit of repentance, then the spirit of grace must come upon us, as it will then come upon Israel. Then comes a mourning, not in unbelief, but a deep touch in your and in my soul. And we say, "Lord, for my sake you were bruised and you were beaten. For my sakes you did all that. The chastisement which was upon me, you bore it. By your stripes I am healed. You redeemed me. You called me by my name. I am yours." Oh, the cross and the crucified one may be put anew into the center, and the ministry of reconciliation must become anew effective with all those who were redeemed and reconciled. We have received all these deep and wonderful teachings. Let us now come closer to God, so that all the things announced can become a reality, that God could prepare a flock on the earth on whom He can rely on, people who will wait until the end at all costs. And if one would kill our bodies, our soul nobody is able to kill, because it received eternal life. We have passed from death unto life. Oh, how great is our God in heaven, and how glorious He revealed Himself here on this earth in Jesus Christ our Lord. And He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death on the cross. Disobedience, of course, caused everything, the whole fall. But the obedience, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, by the bringing of His sacrifice, He once for all redeemed, sanctified, and perfected them who were chosen from before the foundation of the world. And this should touch your and my heart. We may thank our God today and say, "Lord, all this you did for me. Here's my life. The years are coming and are going. Living and dying is a divine must. Going from here naked, as a German song goes, the 1 year has ended, another year started. What will it bring for us? What will God do? Politics we observe, yes, but only marginally. Our main focus is on that, what God is doing amongst his people. May it be a year in which he can manifest himself as never before. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, a God who speaks, and a God who is not only just in heaven, but who had his prophets on earth. Daniel was on earth. God was in heaven, but there was a connection between heaven and earth, between God and his prophets. And the same was in this generation. Our brother Branham was a man like all the others. He was driving with a car. He noticed all the natural things which we have to notice in life. But nevertheless, there was a connection between heaven and earth. I want to say, like a hotline from top to bottom, a connection between God and his prophets. And now we go one step further. From this divine connection between God and his prophets, the prophetic message came forth to bring the people of God back into this divine connection, because the word which went forth from the throne and which touched our hearts takes us again with and establishes this connection to God by the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless us in a very special and mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We'll just now worship. The word became so great to me, and I believe to all of us, because it's God's word. And as we heard, men write only afterward when things took place. God wrote beforehand, before something took place. This Brother Frank didn't say of himself, but this is written in the scripture. This we can prove in the prophet Isaiah 46. There is this precious verse, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Are these not wonderful words? We could continue. The word of God is so precious. And really, it quickens our soul and our hearts. Yes, it gives us new courage. We can be so happy that we truly are the privileged people of God. And this is truly, as our brother said, no politician, nobody knows what God revealed to his own. Is this not wonderful? Oh, this is a wonderful thing. And this the Lord always did. We see it already when he walked this earth. He took his disciples aside and he revealed to them what he wanted to tell them. To the others, he spoke in riddles. And we see that it's still the same today. The others are puzzling. Many puzzles are there, but to his own, he spoke in a wonderful way. And for this, we are so happy and so grateful. Brothers and sisters, I once again want to emphasize, may our hearts be open. Whether we understand it or not, in this moment, whether we comprehend it or not, if we all pray together, God wants a people which stands together, which raises their voices together. What happened at Pentecost? They raised their voices together and they started to praise God, glorifying Him. It might sound strange if you were sitting at home and if you're not used to the services. Beloved, don't stumble over them. Take them to heart and be part of it and say, Lord, be merciful to me that I can tune in with your people in prayer, in singing, in everything what is being done. And I tell you, we are not here to do our own works, but the works of Him who sent us. Oh, brothers and sisters, it was the will of the Lord that His people should pray. He said, watch for 1 hour together with me. And what was it? They slept. But He prayed. Beloved, let us watch and pray in this hour. Brother Frank said, I fear that we become lukewarm and that we take everything lightly. This should not be so. But the more the hour is approaching, the years are passing, and the coming of the Lord is very close, we should even more gather around Him, asking Him that He may be merciful to us. Brothers, sisters, let us now call upon His name.